إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونشكره ونستهديه ونتوب إليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا وعظيمنا وقائدنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تلا. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. عباد الله اتقوا الله تبارك وتعالى وأطيعوه. القائل في كتابه العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. I praise and thank Allah تبارك وتعالى. I ask him to raise the rank and honor and prestige of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And I ask Allah to make this matter easy for myself and for you. Have the good intentions while you sit in this obligatory session, seeking the reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only. Slaves of Allah, I remind myself and I remind you to fear Allah. Do all of the obligations and avoid all of the prohibitions. Seek piety. Praise and thanks are due to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the one who gave us the correct religion. Praise and thanks are due to him, the one who enabled us to follow the straight rules, and the one who blessed us and granted us the straight proper belief, the one who guided us. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed this religion of Islam to all of the prophets. He revealed this religion of Islam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made Islam a religion of evidence. And he made Islam a religion of knowledge. And he made Islam a religion of faith also. There is no contradiction between having faith and having knowledge and evidence. We are not like some people who cannot merge between evidence and faith, because they have no evidence for their faith, so they just believe it, and they invite people to just believe, and they discourage people from seeking evidence. But our religion is the correct religion that's backed by the evidence. It is backed by the mental and the textual evidence. الدليل العقلي والدليل السمعي or الدليل النقلي. الدليل العقلي والدليل النقلي. The textual evidence and the mental evidence, intellectual evidence. That textual evidence is good for anyone who claims to believe in the text. Whoever claims that he believes in the Quran and believes in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then against him is the book of Allah Ta'ala if he was wrong. And the one who doesn't believe in that text, then against him is the proof of the mind if he's sane. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not leave us with no evidence. We have the evidence to refute both groups who oppose our correct religion. Yes, to refute them, to stand up to them, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Prophet Ibrahim, and Prophet Nuh, and all of those messengers of Allah who stood up to the kuffar. We have the evidence to stand up to them, to both groups. Those who believe in the text, or claim so, and those who do not believe in the text. If someone believes, for example, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is a big body up in the sky, which is wrong. This is kufr and blasphemy. But if someone believes like that, and then he goes, let's say for example, to the sun worshiper, and he says to the sun worshiper, I'm a Muslim. And if he believes like that, he's not a Muslim. He says to the sun worshiper, I'm a Muslim, and Allah is up in the sky. So worship Allah. The sun worshiper would say to him, why should I worship what you worship? So that person would say to him, because Allah said in the Quran, فَعْبُدُونَ, worship me. So what would the sun worshiper say to him? He will say, I don't believe in your book. You have a book. He has a book. He has a book. Give me another proof. Give me something other than your book as evidence. Here, this person who claimed to be a Muslim is cut off. He has no proof. He has no mental proof. In fact, that sun worshiper will in turn come back and tell him, and anyway, what you worship is imaginary. But what I worship, he says, is right there in your face. It's the sun. I worship the sun. And he would say to him, and not everybody confesses that what you worship is true and that what you worship you benefited from. But everyone confesses that what I worship, the sun, is true and that we all benefit from it. And this person now will be refuted. And how would someone who's following Prophet Muhammad be refuted by a sun worshiper? How would someone who follows Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be refuted by a sun worshiper? In fact, the Sunni Muslim with the right belief would tell him, worship Allah, because Allah is the one who gave the sun its shape and gave the sun its form. And He's the one who made the sun warm and made the sun round. Had Allah willed, then the sun could have been a cube. Had Allah willed, then the sun could be hot. The sun has its attributes because other than itself gave it those attributes. So there must be someone who created the sun. Worship the one who created the sun, and he created you also. And so the Muslim has the ability to give mental evidence besides the textual evidence. But there are some people who, they are among the blindest of blind people, because they have not only denied the validity of the revelation and the textual evidence, but they have even denied the existence of God altogether. They said there's no God. And if one of them were to come into his house and find that his house has been destroyed and ransacked and ruined, he would say, who did it? Someone did it. Even the child. Had the child been smacked in a way that he didn't see, someone smacked the child and the child didn't see who smacked him. And then the child said, who hit me? And so it was said to the child, no one hit you. The child would not believe that. So who but a blind person, one with a blind heart, would deny the existence of the Creator? These people, they said there's no God, there's no Creator for this world. And they said that for different reasons. One of the most fundamental reasons they said that is because they hate God, actually. Because they hate God, that's why. And they accuse other people, they accuse religious people, of being people of emotion. So you're just following your emotions. While they're following their emotion, which is the emotion of hatred, They hate God. And what proves that? The pictures that they put on in their books and on the internet, and the ugly words that they say about God. It means they hate God. They are following their emotions and have no evidence. These people consider themselves to be intelligent. The atheists. They consider themselves to be very smart. And so, they would be glad to debate with the Muslim or any other religion. But when it comes to those other religions, they're not correct. They're not valid. So, our discussion is not there. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever chooses a religion other than Islam for himself, it will not be accepted. And in the hereafter, he will be among the losers. But those people, they would, if they had the chance, debate with the Muslim. But the Muslim, he has the evidence. You need to be careful though. You need to know how to use the evidence. You need to know how to respond and how not to respond. And you need to know, who are these people, these atheists? These atheists, for the most part, are people of philosophy. People who accept philosophy generally as the right approach to life. Philosophy is haram. We mentioned it previously. Philosophy is haram because philosophy is, in general, a system in which one believes that the intellect has the ultimate role and is the answer for everything. And philosophy leads one to deny revelation, to say that there's no revelation from God and there's no prophets and all you need is your mind. Philosophy is haram. These atheists, they tend to be people from this field. And there are two groups of them. All of them said there's no God. But some of them said there's no God and the world has no beginning. And this is blasphemy, of course. Allah is the only one who has no beginning. And some of them said there's no God, but the world has a beginning. So they split into two groups, the atheists. La'natullahi alayhim. And first of all, the proof that there is God, that there is a God, that there is a creator, is the existence of the creation. There's a very simple, fundamental rule. Every doing needs a doer. The building needs a builder. The act needs an actor. The creation needs a creator. Every doing necessitates a doer. But the doer does not necessitate another doer. So every creation is evidence for the existence of the one who created it. And that one who created all of the creations has no creator. Nothing or no one brought him into existence. He always existed eternally and everlastingly. And he is the one who made things come into existence from non-existence, from nothing, without tools and without effort. All the atheists, they said there's no God. And they claimed out of their blindness that all of this world and all of its events and all of the things that take place in this world are no evidence for the existence of a creator. Although, if they came into their room and found that their room was ransacked, they would not say, look what no one did. So they are of two groups. One group of them said, God does not exist and the world has no beginning. And another group said, God does not exist but the world has a beginning. And both of these groups are refuted. We just gave with simple evidence that God exists. And we can go into deep, detailed evidence. But now is not the time. As for the world having no beginning, this is impossible. Because this world is an event. This world changes. This world, its situation changes and varies. And change, as the Muslim scholars have stated, is the most evident sign of something being created. It is the most evident sign that something has a beginning, that it is created. It changes. Change means to go from one state to another state. It means for the first state to go out of existence and then for the next state to come into existence. And anything that changes must have a beginning. This world changes. Therefore, it has a beginning. It is created for sure. Nothing exists eternally but Allah. Allah is the only one with no beginning for his existence. What did the Prophet say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كان الله ولم يكن شيء غيره. Allah existed and nothing else existed. The other group, they said, there is no God, but the world has a beginning. And then they fell into other sayings of stupidity. Because now they would have to prove, how would something have a beginning and there's nothing before it to make it have a beginning? So they come up with different ideas. Some of them said, oh, well, the world created itself. And this is invalid and impossible. Because if the world created itself, that means it existed before it existed in order to give itself existence. And then it existed after it existed as a result of being created by itself, which would make it created and uncreated at the same time and make it the creator and the creation at the same time. This is invalid. And some of them said, well, the world was created by nature. And this is more foolish. Because if the world did not create itself, then the world would not be created by an attribute of itself. It would not be created by a part of itself. Nature is part of this world. If the world didn't create itself, how would the world be created by a part of itself? This is even more foolish. Not to mention that nature is not alive. It does not have power or will or knowledge. And the one who creates needs to have life, power, must be attributed with life, power, will, and knowledge. Then there was another group. They said, well, the world just happened. It was just a coincidence. Sudfa, they call it in Arabic. It just appeared. And what is this? This is a joke, because they don't really believe that. They don't believe in chance, actually. Anyway, if you ask one of those people, if we took a blind man and blindfolded the blind man and spun him around until he was dizzy, and then he threw a dart at the bullseye and hit the bullseye, what's the chances of that? He might say, it's possible. Okay, then we do it again. He hit the back of the first dart with the second dart. What's the chances? He will say it's impossible. So the entire world came into existence from nothing just by a coincidence? He wouldn't even think that a blind man could hit the back of a dart with another dart by chance. Or we could say to such a person, you said the world happened by chance, by nothing, by coincidence, by accident. Then this floor that you say to that person, the floor that you're standing upon, it got there by accident? You say no. How about the building? It got there by accident? No. How about the block? It got there by accident? No. How about the whole city? Just happened by accident? No. The state? No. The country? No. But the whole world got there by accident? This is unacceptable. Those people are corrupt, sick and blind. This world runs with an undeniable harmony. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He created males and females. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He created the fish and made them in the water. And so He gave them the eyes that they need and the skin that they need and the limbs that they need to live in the water. He didn't, for example, make the fish like elephants. He made them appropriate for their environment. Allah Ta'ala, He created the birds and He gave them the eyes that they need to cut through the air and the bodies and the wings. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He made the creatures that eat the plants and He made the creatures that eat the meat. And He created this world with an undeniable harmony. And He said in His book, مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِن تَفَاوُتٍ, which means, you do not see inconsistency in the creation of Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله تعالى لي ولكم. Ask Allah for forgiveness. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. عباد الله اتقوا الله تعالى أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي. Slaves of Allah, I command myself and I command you to fear Allah. Do the obligations, avoid the prohibitions, seek piety. Alhamdulillah, we are able to stand up to people like this. They are very confident, but they're so arrogant and blind. Sometimes it's better not to talk to these people. But in any case, you need to make sure that if you engage in a debate with anyone about religion, whether atheist or Christian or Wahhabi or any other type, you need to make sure of certain matters. Among them is that you need to make sure that you have a proper intention. Do not debate with the person just to debate with the person. And do not debate with them just to show your knowledge. Or don't debate with them with the intention to break him. This is your intention. These are not the good intentions. The good intention is to support the religion of Allah. The good intention is to establish the truth. To debate to establish the truth. To debate to support the religion of Allah. To debate, to save the listeners from falling into the kufr of the one who's saying kufr. With the good intention. And based on that intention, sometimes, if your intention is good, then you will stop. You say, now, the benefit is gone. The evidence has been presented. You have been refuted. If I keep talking now, you will only just keep saying more kufr. Now I stop. And one very important thing that you need to observe when talking to people, when debating with a person more specifically, is not to push that person into kufr. Don't encourage the person to say blasphemy. For example, you know that a person is a Christian, and you know he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, which is blasphemy. So you cannot ask him, after knowing that he will say yes, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Because now you are only inviting him to blasphemy. You know he'll say yes. That's what you anticipate. That's your greatest anticipation, your biggest speculation, that if you asked him, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? He'll say yes. So you cannot ask him that. And if a person is an atheist, you don't say to him, do you deny the existence of God? If a person is a Wahhabi, you don't say to him, do you believe that Allah is in the sky? Do you believe that Allah has face and eyes and hands and fingers and foot? And you know he's going to say yes, so you cannot invite this person to kufr. This means if you understand this point, this means that in order to successfully debate with the person in religion, you need to be clever. Because once the permission for this question is removed, you don't have permission to ask this question. People ask that question in debate for a reason. They want to get to an end. But you don't have permission to ask this question. It means you need to work around it. So in order to successfully talk to these people, you need to be clever. And you need to have the religious knowledge. If you want to talk to people about Islam, that is, if you want to debate with the person about what's correct, then you need to learn what the scholars said. How did the scholars talk about or talk to these Christians? How did they address these atheists? How did they address these philosophers? What were their proofs? What were their strategies? What did they avoid and what did they adhere to? If you follow the guidance of those scholars, then you'll be successful. Alhamdulillah. Those scholars of Islam, those are the very intelligent ones. Those are the scholars, not these people. Scientists. I was going to say some names, but I won't say any. Those are not the smart ones because they have some degrees or because his name is famous. Or he has a big mustache and a big smile and he's on pictures all over the place, said to be an intelligent one. This is not the intelligent one. And he's saying that the world has no beginning and there's no God and other types of things and he's intelligent after that. The Muslim scholars are the smart ones. You will be amazed at some of their rebuttals against those people of blasphemy. Also, the person who debates with another has to avoid missing the prayers. Because sometimes the debate gets long and heated. And sometimes the person gets very involved. He has to stop to pray if the prayer time is going to go out. He cannot keep arguing and just be a major sinner because the prayer time went out. So he needs to stop to pray. Debating with a person is not an excuse for praying late. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he guarantees a house in the middle parts of paradise for the one who refrains from unnecessary debate. If you can avoid the debate, if there is no reason for it, that is, then do not get involved in it. If you can present the evidence, present the truth and call the person to Islam without arguing, then do so. Some people claim that debating is haram in our religion. And this is not true. There's rules for it like there's rules for anything else. But let us just end, insha'Allah ta'ala, with some evidence from the Book of Allah that the debating is not haram. Allah Ta'ala told us in his book in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Ibrahim said to that blasphemer, my Lord is the one who gives life to the living and he makes the living things die. قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. Then the kafir said, I give life to the living, and I make the living things die. And then he brought two people from his dungeons or his jails. He killed one, he set the other one free.
قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ.
Ibrahim said to him, certainly Allah makes the sun come from the east. Make it come from the west.
فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ.
And then the kafir was dumbfounded. He was astonished. He had no answer. He was refuted in the debate. Prophet Ibrahim debated with him and refuted him. He silenced him and left him dumbfounded. I ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to keep us guided and to enable us to defend the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make us supporters of the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah Ta'ala to subjugate us to the service of the religion. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to subjugate us to the service of the knowledge of the religion. I ask Allah Ta'ala to give us a hand in pushing the religion forward to the next generations. I ask Allah Ta'ala to reward us for being people who support the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Support the religion of Prophet Muhammad, people. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك وإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت فلك الحمد على ما قضيت فلك الحمد على ما قضيت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك اللهم من كل ذنب ونتوب إليك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك أنت القوي ونحن الضعفاء إليك أنت الغني ونحن الضعفاء إليك اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أقم الصلاة.